With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. The murder trial of Demisio Frederick continues in Grand Court, where a jury of 5 men and 7 women are weighing the evidence. Now well into its second week, the trial is already included a visit to the crime scene and testimony from police first responders, pathologists, and associates and family members of Christopher Johnson, whose body was found on Middle Road in Georgetown, December 2024. Mr. Frederick denies the charge. Today, a senior crime scene investigator took the stand to explain evidence recovered, how it was collected, and how it was managed before being sent for forensic testing. During cross-examination, the defending King's counsel for Mr. Frederick challenged the investigator over what he claimed were failures to follow established crime scene protocols. The defense suggested that the investigator should have worn full personal protective equipment, or PPE, when entering the cordoned area. However, the witness told the court that full PPE is not always appropriate, citing weather conditions and extreme heat, which he said can cause excessive sweating and risk further contamination. He explained that gloves were worn for each item collected, with frequent changes between each piece of evidence. Defense counsel further argued that the gloves used during evidence collection should be documented and stored, describing it as standard protocol. The investigator disagreed, saying the procedure referred to by counsel reflects practices in England. While similar methods are used locally, he told the jury that each crime scene is unique and requires professional judgment to determine the correct approach. The defense also questioned the investigator about leaving the cordoned area after arriving at the scene. He confirmed he left several times to retrieve equipment from the CIS van, but denied this breached protocol. He explained that investigators establish a common entry and exit route and bring only equipment into the scene once its necessity is determined. He added that carrying too many items at once increases the risk of contamination. The Crown's case is expected to conclude tomorrow after the testimony of the investigating officer. His testimony is anticipated at 10 a.m. in the main court building. Mr. Frederick remains in custody at HMP Northward pending the conclusion of the case. In other court news, Tresilda Dixon Grant has entered a not guilty plea to a charge of causing a child to overstay in the Cayman Islands. The allegation covers the period August 2020 through August 2025 under Section 78(2) of the Immigration Act. The case is listed for a case management conference on the 2nd of April before the Chief Magistrate, the Honorable Angeline Hernandez. Ms. Grant's bail has been extended until that hearing. The National Coalition for Caymanians government says a highly productive 4 days in Parliament has moved several of its key broad outcomes for 2026 through 2028 from strategy into action, with 10 government bills approved and dozens of questions and motions debated. Premier the Honourable Andre Ebanks says Caymanians have been calling for practical answers on issues like immigration, health insurance, financial services, and community safety.
Many of the issues debated and resolved in Parliament last week and this week are matters that Caymanians for years have asked to be addressed. The question has never been whether these challenges exist. It has been how they should be resolved. This NCFC government is focused on delivering those results thoughtfully, responsibly, and with the long-term interests of Caymanians at the center.
Among 10 government bills, Parliament passed amendments to the Immigration Transition Act to tighten up how the system works in practice, from decision-making to validation of past actions, aiming to make outcomes clearer and more predictable for everyone who relies on timely rulings. The Premier says immigration policy goes to the heart of Cayman's future.
Immigration policy touches directly on opportunity, fairness, and the future of our islands. Our goal is to ensure that the system is revamped, then conducted broadly as envisioned, to protect Caymanians while operating with clarity and efficiency for all.
Parliament approved amendments to the Health Insurance Act and Health Insurance Commission Act and updated several key pieces of financial services legislation. Lawmakers also handled 54 opposition questions and 14 government and private members' motions on issues such as recycling, public safety, and protecting young people online, with several of those motions, like government bills, gaining support from every side of the House. The Premier also thanked Speaker of the House, the Honourable D. Ezard Miller, and Parliament staff for stewarding the proceedings and supporting the work of the House. For more on the government's work in Parliament, visit gov.ky/government-in-parliament. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. A bill to raise the retirement age for civil servants from 65 to 70 didn't make it to the floor of the House this meeting, but that doesn't mean the issue isn't coming up. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller explains.
Amendments to the Public Service Management Bill were gazetted back in January, and despite not getting debated in Parliament this past week, the Deputy Governor did update MPs on the current retirement policy.
Where a civil servant remains in good health, continues to perform strongly, holds skills that are in demand, and where their continued service does not hinder the progression of another Caymanian, our existing framework already allows them to continue working beyond the age of 65, if they so choose.
The Honourable Franz Manderson says almost 11% of the civil service workforce at the end of 2025 was over the age of 60, with 3% 65 and over. And over the past 2 years, three quarters of civil servants who turned 65 were, quote, re-engaged to continue their service.
I'm also aware that there may be a minority of cases where persons who are desirous of working longer but did not receive an extension beyond age 65. As Deputy Governor, I reform my commitment to supporting continued employment up to age 67 where the criteria is met.
Mr. Manderson said workforce data projects manageable numbers of civil servants reaching the normal retirement age over the next 2 years, adding that it's, quote, about balance.
We must honor and retain experience while also creating opportunities for the next generation. Government is actively investing in succession planning, graduate and internship pathways, second chances employment initiatives, and modernizing the civil service to meet the future with confidence.
The Deputy Governor said officers who continue working beyond 65 are able to start drawing from their pension plan even as they return on new contractual terms, providing them with, quote, additional financial security as they prepare for the next chapter of their life. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. You can find the full bill online at gov.ky/publications. The Environment Minister would like her government to move forward with a, quote, more proactive sargassum plan. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin reports.
The Honourable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes was asked when the sargassum plan would be unveiled to the public.
At this time, the government does not yet have a formally approved national sargassum management plan in place. However, for several years, a number of government departments have been working together to manage periodic sargassum influxes and to provide guidance to private landowners regarding the removal of accumulated material from their properties. What currently exists, Mr. Speaker, are response protocols. However, what we need is a proactive approach.
The minister told MPs the current protocols really only address sargassum once it hits the shore.
The direction I wish to see moving forward is a more comprehensive and proactive strategy. Addressing sargassum only after it reaches the shore can create secondary impacts. Mechanical or improper removal can disturb beach profiles and interfere with marine life, including turtle nesting activity.
Sargassum also contains heavy metals that, when piled in one area, can leach into the soil, water table, or marine environment, creating what the minister called a, quote, serious public and environmental risk.
Accordingly, we are examining options that include management approaches before the sargassum reaches the shoreline.
While she did not provide an exact timeline, the minister said she would be bringing the matter to caucus in, quote, short order. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Thank you, Dion. Sargassum is a free-floating brown macroalgae that forms massive mats in the ocean surface, often with a very distinctive smell. 13 Caymanian recruits have begun new training with the Cayman Islands Customs and Border Control Service. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
CBC announced today that the recruits started on Monday, March 2nd, and are embarking on a comprehensive course to prepare them to safeguard the borders of Cayman. Over the coming months, they will train in border security operations, customs enforcement, immigration procedures, law enforcement fundamentals, ethics, and customer service. CBC says the structured program reflects its commitment to strengthening national security, protecting the borders, and delivering high quality of service to the public. The department also says recruits will take part in classroom-based learning, physical fitness training, scenario-based exercises, and practical field experience so they are fully operationally ready upon graduation. The ministry says key officials attended the opening ceremony, including the Minister for District Administration and Home Affairs, the Honorable Nicholas DaCosta, Chief Officer Michael Miles, Deputy Chief Officer Debbie Ann Whitaker, Acting Director Marlon Bodden, and other senior representatives. Throughout the training period, CBC says the recruits will be continuously assessed to ensure they meet its standards of professionalism and operational competence. Once they successfully complete the course, CBC will deploy the trainees across key operational areas to support border protection efforts across the services departments. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That's your evening news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a good evening.